Welcome back to The Word at Work. This is the podcast for Christian professionals where we dig into topics to support you in thriving professionally and, of greatest importance, living biblically. I'm your host, Miranda Carles. Well, we have a treat today. This is a first on the podcast as we have not one guest, but two joining us today. These guys are good friends and do a lot of good kingdom work together and in their respective roles. One has found success doing kingdom work through vocational ministry as a pastor, and the other has found much success in the business world and doing kingdom work there as well. Great examples of seeing the mission field and the field for discipleship in any setting. It's great to have Pastor Jeff Nelson. He's equipping pastor at Cherry Hills Church, and Mike O'Shea. He's president of O'Shea Builders, a leading commercial construction services provider in Illinois. Jeff and Mike, thanks so much for making time to be with us today.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Miranda.
I feel a little left out. You guys are both in the same room over there in Illinois, and I'm here in Missouri. I'm not used to being having two people on the other end, but this will be fun to get both of your perspectives. To kick things off, I'd love to have each of you share a little bit about your story, your individual backgrounds, and how you partner with one another now. So maybe we'll start, Jeff, if you want to kick things off, just sharing a little bit about your ministry background.
Sure. One of the things Mike and I have in common is that we both succeeded our fathers. And So my dad was a pastor, and I've been a pastor for almost 39 years now. Wife and I have been married almost 41 years, and we have three kids and five grandkids.
Well, Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about your professional background?
Sure. Lifelong resident of Springfield, I represent the fourth generation of the O'Shea family leading the business. We're a 123-year-old business. So I have never drawn a paycheck from any entity but O'Shea. I started coming to work with my dad at the age of 12 when I was in junior high. On Saturday mornings, I would accompany him to work, and he'd task me with the things that a 12-year-old was qualified to do. And I have held virtually every position in the company between there and where I am today as president and CEO. And I've been married to my wife, Beth, for almost 31 years. We have two children and two grandchildren.
Mm. And Mike, can you tell us a little bit about how you and Jeff started to work together in more of a ministry capacity?
You know, there was a little bit of a buildup. You know, as Jeff said, he moved here in 95, and we were, I think we made quick friends, and we were at similar stations in life in terms of where we stood in our organizations and, you know, saw ourselves stepping into leadership roles together simultaneously, making many of the same mistakes and commiserating over those.
Yes.
Was a relationship builder for us. As we took on those leadership roles, and in a sense, there was a lot of growing up together through that, maturing into leaders. And one of the things that I think Jeff and I really bonded around in those first couple of years was our desire to become better leaders than we were. And that was, we read a lot of the similar books. We attended conferences on leadership. We shared articles, and again, we had a real passion for becoming the best leaders that we could become. And as I reflect on that, that was so incredibly impactful for me, just some of the things that we'll probably talk about here in a few minutes. I believe it changed the course of my life, my business, and I think it's having impact on some of the people I encounter today through some of those seeds that were planted in the late 90s.
Mm. Yeah. Sounds like such a beautiful friendship that the Lord's really been able to work through. I love hearing stories of friendship and fellowship within the context of the workplace, or even if you don't work in the same place, walking alongside each other, encouraging one another in the work that you were doing. Because I think it's often a really neglected part of the Christian life, especially for busy professionals. So it's something I like to encourage everyone to make happen. And last week's guest, Matthew Lamb, he shared us his story of building fellowship with professional peers. Interestingly, he participates in a weekly Bible study with his competitors, which I thought was really interesting and cool. So all these guys who work at competing organizations within the same industry, they get together and they study the Bible as brothers in Christ, which I thought was just kind of fascinating. So Monday through Friday, they might be competing for the same customers, but they come together as brothers in Christ. And you guys have also created fellowship within a workplace context. And I'd love to hear from you, what have you seen as a result from consciously building community with other Christians within the context of work?
You know, first of all, I think it's been a catalyst for inviting others to share their faith in the workplace. You know, as a young Christian back in the era when I met Jeff, I wasn't very bold about my Christianity. And then as we did some of these things, I remember one of the early on things we did was a study in the life of David. And we invited people to just bring a brown bag lunch to my office. And we spent 45 minutes looking at the life of David. And it was incredible to me to see how hungry people were for that and how they were willing to hit pause on their busy day to take time for that. And at the time, I thought we'd stumbled onto something incredibly unique and with a Bible study in the workplace. I'm sure there were many others going on at the same time we were doing it. But it was an eye-opener for me to see how hungry people were for that. And God reveals that to, I think, both Jeff and I every time we endeavor to do a study of a topic that explores our faith, the anxiousness to participate and the participation itself and the way people show up, I think has dumbfounded us time and again, and has caused us to see that it could be a real ministry.
Yeah. Miranda, if I could I could go back a little bit in our story.
Absolutely.
So Mike talked about the fact that we were commiserating about how we were not the leaders we wanted to be. And so in 1999, John Maxwell's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership had just come out the year before. And I invited 12 guys to meet with me at 6:30 in the morning at a person's house just to go through that book one chapter at a time. That was back in the days of VHS tapes, if you remember those. And we would stick that in, listen to John Maxwell talk. Then we discussed that particular law. What happened is that 15 years later, Mike and I are at lunch, and he said, "You remember when we did that in 1999? He said, "We should do that again." And then Mike followed up by saying, "I'm in a different situation now where I have better facilities and I can offer a conference room that's state of the art. I can offer breakfast for every person, and I'll purchase the book if you invite them and you facilitate." And that just seemed like a great matchup. And so we did that with, you know, it included some of the leaders of the biggest hospital here in town, as well as some leaders in our church, as well as another pastor of another church in town who was an excellent leader and worked at one of the power companies. But anyway, that was how things got started. And then we can tell you more of what grew out of that. But it was Mike looking at his resources differently and thinking about how he might be able to use those to build into other people.
And you know, Miranda, just something else I'll add to that. Jeff may have said this, but if he did, it got past me. There was a 15-year span between the time we originally did it and the second situation that Jeff described. And so, you know, there was a differing viewpoint and a maturing through that. And again, when we did it again in 2014, it proved to be very powerful. And one of my takeaways from the 2014 session was that when I had originally done it with Jeff in 1999, I was one of the youngest people in the group by a fairly significant stretch. And so therefore, I felt like I was the greatest benefactor in the room because I was learning from people who were 15 or 20 years my senior about some of the experiences they had. And so as we exited this group of 12 or 15 people that we started with, what that blossomed into was, as we walked through it a second time, I recall just how impactful it was for me. And one of the things that that gave way towards was a program we began called Emerging Leaders, which this fall will begin its eighth cohort. And wow. we've graduated close to 200 people from that program, I believe, 150 to 200. And it's the same format where each week we go through a law of leadership, but we invite a leader from the community to come in and speak to each law. And it's been exciting to watch the impact of that on young people in the community. And then you also begin to recognize that that has a ripple effect mm-hmm. across the businesses they serve and the places they serve. And although that book in itself isn't necessary, you know, Maxwell was a pastor. I know he was a pastor. I think he'd stepped into his full-time industries when he authored that book. But my point was that a part of God's work, even though the word wasn't necessarily preached through that, was that we were helping equip people to improve their workspaces and help those workspaces become a place of human flourishing because there's better leadership there. I want to touch more on that as we go forward. But that was one thing that has bloomed out of our relationship and has become a popular thing in our community.
Yes.
Yeah. That's such a beautiful example and partnership, and love how, you know, to your point, you both brought forth the skills and experiences and the resources that God's provided each of you with to partner and provide that to other people. I love how, Mike, you noted the hunger that people had to participate in programs and gatherings like this. So I think that's a really good encouragement for anyone listening in who has thought about or felt that nudge of maybe I should start a Bible study or some sort of fellowship gathering within the workplace, that you might be surprised how many people will come out of the woodwork or might be really hungry for something like that. That's great. We have to lean on our people, our brothers and sisters. And as we try to reach the lost, we also need to love on and encourage one another along. And some of that happens through our peer groups at work and in other settings. And some of that is an extension of the local church. It's so important to be engaged in a local church body. I'd love to get both of your perspectives on this next one, because I think you might have different perspectives from where you sit. We'll start maybe with you, Jeff. I'd love to hear, how can pastors partner with their church members who work in the secular marketplace?
Well, you know, I think part of what you do is you pay attention to the people God is sending you. Mm-hmm. And when I became the lead pastor at Cherry Hills, over the next few years, what I noticed is there was a growing number of business leaders and business owners. And so I would just try and have lunch with a lot of these guys. And Mike was one of those people, and I would ask them how they saw their life with Jesus being lived out in the marketplace. And I remember Mike specifically would say to me, yeah, I feel guilty because I admire these people that are going to foreign countries and sharing the gospel, but I do not have that same sense of calling. So we just talked about the fact that the inside of the church is not the only place to serve God. And I began to just encourage him to see what he was doing as ministry. He was already thinking that way by his own reading of scripture and other things. But I think that's what I guess I really want to help the business leaders of our church understand, is what they're doing is honorable. It can make a difference in the world. It's the way God actually provides for the world. And the more we're going to tell you more, but the book, Every Good Endeavor, when mm-hmm. Mike read that about 7 or 8 years ago, it changed the trajectory of what we were doing with business leaders in our community. And he really points out some big things. But the last thing I want to say is I just have such a passion to explode the myth of sacred and secular. The average person thinks that they're not doing church work, they're not doing God's work. And that's simply not true. And mm-hmm. so helping, again, the business owners and business leaders understand that they had an important place in God's work in the world is probably one of my greatest passions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And we squander those opportunities that God's placed right in front of us when we have that mindset of compartmentalizing the two. So that's such important work, such an important message. Mike, would you have anything to add to that?
You know, again, for me, when we did some of these things, they were an epiphany to me. And again, I don't mean to imply that they weren't taking place or that we created something completely original. To me, they were things I hadn't witnessed in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I really credit Jeff for investing himself in relationships in the business community, so that they could, you know, I think in the business community, we tend to put people in, you know, what we'll call quote unquote full-time ministry up on a pedestal as if they're somehow more valued by God, better people than us. And that their work is so much worthy than ours. And I think the way that Jeff interacted with not just myself, but other business leaders has really, as Jeff said, helped to explode the myth of the segregation of sacred and secular. So it was just really rich to take this journey with Jeff and watch him do that on the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to go back, Mike, you've mentioned a couple of times that I know you don't want to imply that these things weren't happening other places, that other workplaces weren't having group meetings or workplace Bible studies. But I think the important thing to call attention to is that it wasn't happening there, right? So you guys made it happen there where you saw a gap. And I think that's just an important thing to highlight for those listening in that, yes, there are faith and work programs in a lot of cities. We've got some stuff started over here in St. Louis. So look around, see if something exists. See if something exists in your workplace that you're in. And if you see a gap there, you know, pray about it and ask how God could use you or provide you with the means or the partners to make something happen. Because I think it's so important. Well, we've never had two guests on at one time, as I said, so I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity to have two different perspectives on all of these questions, especially the next one. So I think it's really nice to get that vocational pastor perspective and then that Christian in the workplace perspective as well. We talk about the concept of calling a great deal on this show. And I love asking guests about this. Some are called to the marketplace. Some are called to the home. Some are called to vocational ministry. Most of us are called to different things in different seasons. I'd love to hear both of your perspectives on the concept of calling. Maybe we'll start with you, Jeff.
Okay. I believe that when God called me to be a pastor or a shepherd, that maybe one of the differences between my father and me is that he had the spiritual gift of shepherding even more than I did. And I had the spiritual gift of leadership more than he did. So I had to figure out what God's call looked in my life different than my dad's. Mm-hmm. And my dad was actually helpful to me in some of that. But I guess what I understood is that my main job as a leader was to help disciple other leaders. And that included being in the marketplace, that included being in healthcare or education. And so I really tried to steward that calling. And really, I will say this, I think pastors are sometimes famous for using people. And what I did not want to do is I wanted something more for people, not just from people. And so it helped me look at people like Mike and others and say, what is God already doing in his life? And what does God want him to discover? And how can he serve God right where he is rather than having to go somewhere or do something different? And so that I think that's my sense of calling. I will say this. Mm-hmm. I think calling is related to the spiritual gifts God gives you. Mm-hmm. So we've taken probably over 1,200 or 1,400 people in our church through some kind of spiritual gift assessment. And that way they have a better idea of how they're to serve God according to his calling. And it's been fun to see that my top gift is encouragement along with leadership. So I've really tried to be an encouraging leader.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's really good. And Mike, what about you? What are some of your thoughts on the concept of calling?
So before I answer that, Jeff, would you briefly run through your inside, outside near and outside far analogy?
Sure. Yeah. So years ago, I was sitting with a group of pastors, Miranda, and a guy was speaking to us and he said, do you know, have you ever heard the 80% of the people do 20% of the people do 80% of the work? And we all nodded. Of course, we'd heard that. And of course, that's often used to guilt people. But what he said is, you know why that is, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work? Because the average vision of most pastors is so puny, that's all it takes. Well, that was a real eye opener to me. And I was studying Acts 1:8 one day where it says, you shall be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit's come upon you in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. And all of a sudden, I'd always thought there was the inside of the church and the outside, but I heard a little more nuance that day. And it was, there's the inside of the church, there's outside near, and there's outside far. And I began to share that with the church and ask each person when I would have lunch, and I'd draw it on a napkin, like a rectangle divided in three parts. Eventually I made it like a puzzle pieces fit together. But I said, which one are you most passionate about if you had time to make a difference? And Mike pointed to outside near. And so did most business people that I talked mm-hmm. to. So that helped to have language of us being able to say, our vision is so important because we want to make sure it's not just inside, and it's not just inside, outside, far. It's also inside, outside, near. And if God's called you to that, then serve him and serve him with all your heart, outside, near.
Mm-hmm. Now, as Jeff said, he and I would have lunch and he sketched that out on me on a napkin for me on more than one occasion. And Jeff just said this, but unless you get to know him, you don't really understand the magnitude of the statement. He's an encourager. And I would leave those lunches and I would be on cloud nine. I'd feel like I had it totally figured out. And then within a couple of days, I'd get an email from a friend and they'd be in a third world country without running water and they're winning souls to Christ. And it just felt like, and what are you doing, Mike O'Che? And there would be this sense of guilt. And this went on for several years. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, there was a confluence of events, one of which was reading Timothy Keller's Every Good Endeavor. And a series of things over a very brief period of time that occurred, including the reading that book, absolutely galvanized for me that the work that I'm doing is, in fact, kingdom work. And one of the steps, I don't even remember who read the book, and I'm paraphrasing, but in the book, it talked about if we all go to third world countries, who is going to be left to support all the people doing God's work? And again, even that in the moment I read it sounded good, but I had trouble adjusting to it. And so I stepped back and say, well, I've got this business and we've done well, and we can be philanthropic, but that is such a small part of it. I think as I read that book, I really began to see that God had given me the opportunity to create a place for human flourishing. And I like to believe that not only do people who work at O'Che have the opportunity to flourish, but that whoever our business interacts with, whether it be our clients, our design partners, trade partners, whatever the case may be, that we should create this exceptional experience in which people sense a kind of flourishing that they can't otherwise experience. Mm-hmm. And the impact on them is that I tell our people, I break it down like this. We protect them. We create a physically and emotionally safe place to work. We help grow them to be the best version of themselves. And we provide an opportunity for them to prosper. And so we're impacting human lives in that way, and we're helping people put their kids through college, or we're providing a vehicle to do that, right? So we're doing all these cool things. And then also we create this built environment where people have the opportunity to worship, or where education is delivered in a K-12 environment, or where life-saving services are delivered in a healthcare environment. And, you know, God is using us as part of, you know, the process to serve his people, whatever their needs may be as it relates to construction. And so that has unleashed an incredible joy for me about the work we've done. And then as I read that, again, that book is next to the Bible, the most impactful thing I've ever read in my life. After I read that book, I remember having lunch with Jeff saying, you've got to read this book. We've got to share this with other people. Other people need to hear this. And then that led to another study that we've done on the book of Every Good Endeavor. And Jeff, how many cohorts?
We've had at least four or five cohorts that have gone through that, of anywhere from 25 to 45 people in each cohort.
And again, awesome. As people show up, there's this complete hunger. And again, if we boil it down to the simplest thing, that book teaches us that the sacred and the secular are inseparable. What we do matters to God, and He's designed us with gifts and talents that are unique to each of us. And whether it be inside, outside near, or outside far, He has a place for us to use those gifts and talents in a way that serves His kingdom.
Beautiful. Yeah, I love that, because I think we get this perception. I think from childhood growing up in the church, you know, it was always a really noble thing to go to overseas missions or to serve in the local church in a vocational capacity. And yes, like that is kingdom work. And there's also kingdom work to do in the outside near. I love that language that you have there, because the invitation to follow Jesus is for everyone. And there are, you know, lost souls that we can meet in all of those places. So such good reminders. Jeff, as a pastor, I'd love to hear, is there anything else that you'd like to share as a pastor with the Christians who work in, I say, just regular jobs out there? So is there anything else that you'd like to share with the folks listening in?
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite Bible verses is one that many love, and that's Proverbs 3:6 that says, "In all your ways, acknowledge Him." I think it's really important that we acknowledge Him wherever He places us for however long we're there. And if we can learn how to acknowledge Him, then He can guide our steps and show us how to live out a sense of calling there. But I want every Christian, as well as I want even non-Christians, to understand that competency is a form of love in their work. And that's one of the points that Tim Keller makes so beautifully, and that also they're contributing to a better city or a better world if they do their work well. And so I try and compliment, whether a person's a Christian or not, I try and compliment them when I see them doing good work, because I honestly believe that glorifies God. And I believe it builds up a community and improves things. And I know that there's eternal things at stake as well, but I believe God's actually very concerned about the everyday, ordinary, mundane things as well. And He wants to bring His improving and greatness to even the simplest tasks. So I guess I just want people to know that when they do their work, it's honorable, and that it is something that God is actually using to help disciple and shape us and make us people of character more Christ-like.
You know, Jeff, just adding on to what you just said, and you touched on it briefly there, but, you know, in the book, Keller talks about the idea of common grace. And as we do this work, we often find ourselves locking arms with non-believers who are also contributing important work to God's kingdom by their contribution as well, and recognizing and affirming them. And you touched on that, but it is so important to recognize that this idea of common grace, that the work we've been given to do, whether we're a believer or not, is important in God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, Mike, is there anything else that you would like to share with your peers who are out working in business or in, again, regular jobs outside of vocational ministry?
You know, I would just like people to learn faster than I did that your work can be a vocation. It's a form of calling from God, and that you should not feel guilty or less than if that's where God has put you. And, you know, the idea that we need to bloom where we are planted. You know, as I was processing this several years ago, I encountered some businessmen and they were doing something and I couldn't figure out how to replicate it here. And I think back to Experiencing God was a popular study probably 25 or 30 years ago by Henry Blackaby. And in that, my biggest takeaway from that study many years ago was see where God's at work and join Him. And God's given us each one unique gifts and talents. And how can you use those to foster a ministry for God? And Jeff said early on, a lot of my contribution to the work that we've done together is that I provide the place, the food, the resources, the platform. Jeff has really, much more so than I've been, responsible for the content and the teaching. But my contribution has been to provide an environment where this could take place. And yet together, Jeff and I have matched our gifts, and we've been able to, I think, leverage them in a powerful way. So I would encourage people to recognize quickly that their work is important. Mm-hmm. And then second, that what Jeff and I are doing may not be for them, because they may not be, they may not share the same gifts as one of us, or they may not be surrounded by people who have the exact gifts Jeff and I did. But who are you surrounded with, and what gifts do you have, and how can you plug them in together? And not to take that lightly, not to demean yourself or think less of your work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, all of us using the gifts we've been given and just surrendering each day to the work that God has placed in front of us, and to his will and the work of the Spirit through that. Well, thank you both so much for joining us today. This has been a lot of fun. It's been a joy to chat with you both and share your experiences with others. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Word at Work. If you enjoy this podcast or get something good out of it, be sure to like, subscribe, and the biggest compliment you can give us is to share this episode with friends. Thanks so much again for tuning in, and we will see you next time.